See, that was scarier than the scream. Do that again. That's the best throat clearing I've heard in years. Now be quiet. Let me listen. Just a minute.
Sorry about that.
Hold on. Is that a wolf or someone's stomach growling?
That's a wolf. A coyote. We've got so many coyotes around here now.
These are pretty good sound effects. Well, the weather came back. It's one of those Rottweilers again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's the one. This is the UFO where we taped it coming up over behind the castle. Remember the big disc?
I remember.
Golden-colored disc rising behind the castle. Slowly up into the night air.
There it is.
All right. Well, Brad and I are back, and we have guests with us as well, Rick Aiello and Dwayne Claude. And we want to bring Dwayne on at this point if we can. Rick, are you standing by there?
Yes, I'm here.
I want to point out that the EVP examples are on Dwayne's page, as are a whole raft, 47 pictures. And you can go look at those pictures. And if you get down to the latter photos, 42, 43, they are, we'll find out for sure, but I assume those are your neck, Rick?
Yes.
Psychic burns. And not fun. Did that hurt?
No, it looks very painful. It was. In the original picture, you can see an outline. It looked like a demon. It had, like, bat ears and a face. I don't know if it shows on the ones that are illustrated there.
No, it looks more like a picture of George Bush, actually. Well, that's pretty scary. All right.
I have the EVP queued.
Good. Well, let's introduce Dwayne Claude to everyone. Hello, Dwayne. Thank you for being here tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Hi, Dwayne.
Hello.
This is Brad.
Hi, Brad.
Hi.
Okay, stand by, Dwayne. We're going to have Rick play that first EVP for us, let's listen. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, I timed it during the break. It's about 45 seconds, if that's okay.
Okay, and this is the one that says, get out.
Yes.
Nope. This is the one that says, don't wanna, right?
Yeah, I don't wanna. After right. I asked to leave a message.
Ah, I don't wanna,
and,
okay.
I say, Dwayne got some others when they walked in the house the first time because they were that he was mic'd, but he could tell you about that. But I'll play this, and I'll let you listen to it. Here we go.
Here was the same thing, saving the machine,
He walked out, closed the door. He's walking out. Those are pretty heavy footsteps, Rick. Clearly.
I don't want her. Right. Now, we should explain, Rick, that you're walking upstairs,
yeah,
and then you are speaking to Diane. So that's the sound of the footsteps going up in the conversation just before we hear, I don't want to.
Yes, that's me on the creaky stairs.
Right.
They're and creaky, then, all right.
And I had a cold chill when I played it back for the first time because I played it back on a bigger speaker system, like a stereo thing, and I played it back, and hearing that, I just couldn't believe it. And then, as the tape progresses, this entity gets more and more agitated, and you could hear him going back and forth, and then stuff crackling, and there's a squeak toy down there that he squeaks a couple times. And
that's weird.
You heard wood splintering, and I think Dwayne told me when he analyzed the recording, it sounded like when I was going, after I had gone upstairs, it possibly sounded like maybe this thing went up maybe two or three steps and went back down after I went upstairs. but that was it. Did you hear it clear enough?
We did. And if you want to go ahead and cue it up during the next break, maybe just before that, we'll play the last 10 seconds of the tape and we'll listen to it again. All right, let's say hello to Claude, to Dwayne Claude now. Where are you coming from, Dwayne? Where do you live?
Just outside of Buffalo, New York.
Okay. Now, your line of work in your regular life is what?
Well, my real life has me doing public relations.
Okay. Well, you're still doing PR.
You're still doing public relations. Ghosts are people, too.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. So, how did you come to get in touch with, I want to keep this kind of simple, but how did you get in touch with Rick or vice versa?
Well, actually, we had run an ad in the Penny Saver just looking for people who may have spiritual problems, and Rick and Diane seen it, and we talked back and forth by email briefly and found that he may have a potential problem, so we set up an appointment and went out and took a look.
What can you put Rick on hold? He'll still be able to hear us in the studio there. I want to get rid of that hum and turn Dwayne up a little louder. There we go. So what did the ad say?
I don't really remember because it was so long ago.
Okay.
But it was something along the effects of, paranormal research team looking for haunted properties.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, if I might just go ahead and jump ahead, this is a long story, but I want to go to the photos page, if I can. Are you able to look at those pictures right now?
I'm not because I'm actually in the field right now.
Okay. Let me tell you what they are, and you can just elaborate if you want. There are 47
sure.
photographs, as you know, and they are all, I assume, pertaining to Rick's problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Photo number one, nighttime picture. And each these are all thumbnails, folks. You can go ahead and enlarge them any time. Is up in the attic, looks like, and there's a white, it looks like a white orb up near the top of the rafters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as we move along, photo number three is a shot up at, it looks like an upper landing with a wrought iron railing, and you have a red rectangular box drawn around what I'm going to guess is a streaking orb. Is that correct?
Actually, we were thinking it was more of a portal or vortex in the home.
Okay, it's a white line in any case, and it's a vertical line going up more or less along the same direction and path as the wrought iron rails, the vertical rails would go up. Okay. You able to see these, Brad?
I have seen them.
You looked earlier. Okay. Photo number six and seven are outside nighttime shots. Side view of a body is one. You've got a circle drawn around it. Photo number seven, that was number six. Number seven, side view of a person again. Now, are we saying that are these ectoplasmic silhouettes or what at night?
Yes, they are, actually. There's a lot of interesting history on that property. Actually, there is a shaman spirit also present, and that's what those pictures are actually of.
A Native American?
Yes.
And I think, Dwayne, that Rick had picked up on that even before these manifestations started, as I recall, even before he had the encounter with the man in the tintype, I think he was always aware on some level of consciousness that the shaman was there. Isn't that correct?
Oh, yes, that's definitely correct. Several people had actually spotted him on the property.
Right.
And Rick had actually taken some time to go up and talk with the shaman, too.
Wait a minute. All right, we'll get to that in a minute. You talked to him? All right. Photo number 10, very interesting, nighttime flash photograph on the property. It's rustic. There are small trees and medium-sized trees. Now, what is that reddish light in the background on the ground? What's that about?
I'll be honest, I'm not really sure, but it's something that we couldn't explain.
Did you see it before you snapped the photo and you took a picture of it, or did you just randomly take a flash picture of that part of the woods and there was this orange area that's lit up behind some leaves?
Yeah, actually, I do have a certain degree of sensitivity and felt that there was something watching us from that area, so I snapped the picture, and that's what came out.
skeptic might say, oh, somebody's shining a flashlight over there, but I don't see it that way.
No, that's obviously a very highly charged area because I can remember a couple years ago, Rick said one time that sometimes they'd feel, when he was out in the woods, he and Diane were walking, they'd feel something was watching them, someone was watching them.
Well, it's a bright orange illumination or energy spot on the ground in the forest or in the backyard, wherever it may be. Very interesting picture. Photo number 12, for all of you able to follow along, is a picture inside the house of a dining table and four chairs. What are we seeing in that photograph, Claude?
There's actually an apparition that's starting to manifest itself.
Okay. Talking with Dwayne, Claude, stand by. Rick Aiello is here, as Brad and I will pause to do a little business, come right back and take a look at some more of these pictures and hear more about this exorcism of a very charged property. Lots of energy, lots going on, and when you start seeing psychic burns on people's skin like that, one really takes these things seriously, especially the person burned. Back after this. And we're back. Brad Steiger is here, our Halloween program for 2004. Actually, we've had three of them this month. Quite a month indeed. And talking with Rick Aiello and Dwayne Claude about the haunted property that Rick lives on. Let me ask Dwayne this. When you first went out to the house, how was it? How did you interact with the energies there?
Well, you know, it was very strange when we first went out to the house. When we first walked, or actually drove up to the property, both myself and the other gentleman that was with me felt a strong compulsion that we needed to buy the house. And we didn't actually realize this till later on. But upon walking into the house, you could definitely feel the energy that you were walking into.
It wanted you there.
Exactly. It was almost as if the house was looking for new owners, to be honest. It's typical for us to wire our sensitive up or psychic up with a EVP recorder. And it was no sooner that he had entered the house that we got on the recorder, get out. So it definitely did not like us there.
So it doesn't want to give his name and it wants you out.
That's exactly it.
Now let's switch over to Rick here. There is photo number 41, for those of you who can see this, an aerial view of the house. It's quite an interesting design for a house, and we'll get to that in just a moment. In fact, if you look at the preceding couple of photographs, you'll figure it out. Rick, are you there? Is Rick there?
Okay. I'm here now.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Now, did you build the house? I didn't ask you this earlier.
No, okay. I didn't build it. I bought it from the folks that did build it.
When was it built, and who were these people?
The home was built 14 years ago. Am I still there?
Yes, sure.
Yes. Okay. The home was built 14 years ago. The people that custom built it was their own design, and I think there may have been some ideas in mind when they constructed it. As far as the geometry of the house goes, there are some drawings that I got from the blueprints. I did some work with the geometry of the house.
Yeah.
And it's on the website. There's some drawings showing I projected some lines and intersected some things, trying to figure out what he had in mind.
Photo number 40. So it's photo number 40, exactly. I see your work. Floor plan of the home, intersection of all the angles.
Yes. And pictures that he has up, it shows two symbols, a pentagram that's on top of two V's. There's an inverted V another V. There's two V's, one on top of the other, one with the points going up and one with the points going down. in doing a little research, that's a very ancient symbol.
Yes, and I don't think it was done by accident.
Right. And so I think what was done intentionally was actually became their demise. The people that lived here, nothing good came of the house for them. And without
did you meet
a long story, they pretty much the whole people that resided here, they disbanded and they were gone. And they
when you say the whole, when you Rick, excuse me, but when you say the whole people who resided there, how many people lived there? And
well, there was a you know, there's a family, there was a mother and father, and there were some kids here.
And did you meet them?
I never met the man that built the house, but I met his wife when we bought it.
Did you ever see her in daylight?
Yes.
I just had to ask.
You know, there were some clues that it just didn't click, because you know when people move, they you know the house is might be in a little disarray, or they don't have all their furniture here, or they might not even be living here. They could be in transition and setting up in their new household somewhere. But the people that owned the house really didn't stay here. And the house was left empty except for some kids that spent the summer here. But the principals, the mother and father, left the house way before it was sold. They pretty much just took off.
When you say the kids spent the summer there, were these older kids?
Yeah, they were teenagers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And they had the run of the house, and of course it fell into some disrepair. But there were some signs, you know. In retrospect, I think back and the pieces fit. You know, the people weren't here, and there was a reason why they weren't here. And I thought it was just a normal reason. But my intuition tells me that they left because they didn't feel comfortable here anymore. They had a lot of problems.
Yeah, they got tired of being strangled when they were trying to sleep.
But, yeah, I think some activity here, besides the geometry of the house and the intent of the construction, I think there was activity here that may have exacerbated the situation, which Dwayne may be able to expand on. But I was going to say, the first time I played this tape for Dwayne, when he came on his initial visit, there wasn't one recorder or player in the house that would function properly for him to hear that tape. Everything that I had that would play the cassette tape malfunctioned before. It's like they didn't want him to hear it. But I wanted to say that before I forgot. But that was, like I say, the activity expanded and it got more intense. And as Dwayne said when he came out there, EVP said you could hear the get out, get out. And, the battle lines were drawn at that point.
What you're saying is that there may have been a lack of full disclosure at the time you purchased the house from the sellers.
Yes, I would say. They if they went through what we went through, I don't think they could have avoided knowing what was going on. Mm-hmm. And I think it wasn't an innocent coincidence that they designed this house in this unusual configuration with these particular angles and measurements.
The logo for the real estate company on the real estate sign that you saw wasn't a skull and bones, was it? All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dwayne Claude and ask him to elaborate and give us his impression of the angles of the floor plan of this house. Very strange. It almost looks a little bit Masonic, but there's more. There's a pentagram there, Brad, and that's unmistakable. Back in just a few minutes. Okay, let's get back to our guests. Brad Steiger is here. I'm Jeff Rentz, and we are doing our Halloween program. Rick Aiello is here, as is Dwayne Claude. All right, Dwayne, go ahead and let's develop the story a little bit more. I'd like to get your impressions of the angles in the pentagram that Rick found when he traced the floor plan of that very unusual-looking house.
Oh, it most definitely is, and I think it actually starts with the whole house being a triangle to begin with. I mean, that has been a power symbol in the occult for a very long time. But when you add in the angles that are in the home, it actually forms a universal pentagram, which is actually one of the oldest pentagrams in history. It actually is part of the occult and is actually part of one of the oldest sorcerers, from what I understand. But I think what happens in that home was that you'll notice on the diagram that there's certain power points where all the angles cross each other. And those were the most active places in the home.
Well, were there any particular location, like the kitchen, the bedroom, living room, or stairwell, or what?
You know, they really weren't. I mean, they were actually on the west side of the house, I believe, and towards the end.
Okay, all right. You know, got it.
One was a bathroom, one was a closet.
Oh, right. Now, I wouldn't want to use that bathroom. Toilet sitting on a negative vortex, you wouldn't even have to flush it.
One thing I think, and I think Dwayne will agree with me, the home was built on sacred ground, a high energy place. But in the final analysis, energy is energy. And if someone wished to take that sacred energy and turn it into a negative direction with the occult symbols of the triangle, the pyramid, and so forth, that could be done, and that could bring about the hauntings. That could stir up latent negativity that would be in the same area.
Oh, I completely agree, and I think that's exactly what happened. Really, you know, the most negative energy you could find in that home was on the bottom floor.
Right.
And, you know, I would go as far as to say is, you know, that negative energy was demonic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was your approach to trying to help Rick out of his dilemma?
Well, what we did first was go in and evaluate what was in the home. And what we found to be in the home was, you know, a pretty benign spirit on the top floor, which was actually the older man in the tin type. On the second floor, there was a couple spirits, but it was the basement that was really the infestation. And because of all of that negativity, it was affecting everything else in the home. So we really had to take an approach to find out how to take care of this. And actually, it was divine intervention that assisted us initially. A name was brought to Rick in one of his dreams, and that name was Respiris. And he didn't know what the word meant, so he emailed it to me. And actually, a little bit of research uncovered that it's actually Latin for unfaithful. On our second visit, we were actually in the basement and felt a high amount of negative energy in what he called the workshop area, and through some prayer in the basement called out, you know, the name of Respiris, and something very interesting happened. And that was, we had an audible, what sounded like a growl at the time. And this was something that was not an EVP. You could hear it with your ears. And it actually resonated through all three floors of the house. And
wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. It's the first time I've ever seen that happen.
That made the hair stand up, I'll bet.
Oh, it most definitely did. And I know Rick got a little bit nervous upstairs, too. But interestingly enough, I mean, through the prayer of our group in the basement, we were able to move that entity on, but there was actually three of those in the basement that had to be dealt with. And we did have team members who did receive psychic burns on their neck. One received them on his arm. And one of the females who worked with us actually had claw marks appear on her back.
Now, there's an image of that as well, and that was my last picture I wanted to go to, and I'm glad you told us what that was about. There are, now this is a photo 44, for those of you online. That's her neck?
No, that's her back.
I was going to say, that's a strange-looking neck. But it's her back. Now, there are 8 or 9 long, for those of you who can't see it, red, more than that.
Yeah.
the more I look, the more I see. Long red claw. They don't look like scratches as much as they look like claw scratches.
Exactly.
They didn't. Did they bleed or were they just red?
They were just red. They were welted.
Welted, yes.
But they did not bleed.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. And
that's what we keep telling people, Jeff. Yeah. These energies are nothing to play around with. You have to be serious. You have to prepare. You know, it has to be years of experience and training. All the young ghost hunters who go out there because they've seen a special on Discovery Channel and read a couple books, I mean, they can come up against this, and they don't know how to deal with it. I mean, you have to be balanced. And it's good to have a team, too, as Dwayne did. Just a couple of guys going out or a couple of kids going out, I mean, I'm sorry to use a cliche, but they will bite off more than they can chew.
Did all of these injuries and physical manifestations occur in that one session in the basement?
Yes, they did. They all occurred within the basement within probably a half hour of each other.
Did she feel the scratches being made on her?
She felt a pressure on her back, but did not feel the scratches until we looked at them afterwards, and they were sore afterwards, but she didn't feel claws going across her back at all.
Wow, all right. Wow.
I'm pretty certain we told Rick and Diane, and I don't know if you know this, Dwayne, but the night that you were praying down there in the basement, Rick was telling us and sent us an email, and Sherry and I here all the way in Iowa were joining you in prayer, and we kept on till about 4 in the morning, and then just a tremendous crack. Bang, thud, whatever you want to call it, sounded on our wall, and we felt, well, you know, we had connected with you, and we kind of felt that one of the energies was leaving at that time, or at least was that you had put it at bay.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe moving into the castle?
No, we just got that one big bang.
You know how to keep them away by
yes.
now.
Well, now, you know.
Yeah.
One mustn't be overconfident.
Now, we have a break here, but when we come back, we'll ask the obvious question. Releasing spirits or sending them on is great, but is it always permanent, or can they come back? We'll find the answer to that and other questions as we continue on our Halloween program in just a few minutes. Okay, sounds like one of Rick's EVP recordings, probably. All right, we are back, and we're going to bring this to an early close because of our time limitations. As we said, we have an easy five-hour program to do in three tonight. So, Dwayne, if you would, let's kind of summarize this and wrap it up. You can click on Dwayne's name at Rents.com, go to his website and read a full report on this, see all the pictures, listen to the EVPs. He's done a marvelous job of putting this all together, and I want to congratulate you, Dwayne.
Thank you.
And I want to compliment you on the fine job that you did for Rick and Diane.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead and sum it up for us and where we are today, Dwayne. And the question I asked going out of the break was, can these spirits come back?
You know, it's not uncommon for spirits to come back and test the grounds to see if things are still in such a positive nature, or is there a doorway back for them to enter through? In cases where there's such negative entities, it's really faith that is what helps drive these things back out. And in a lot of cases, instances like this either make your faith or break it. And in Rick and Diane's situation, they really found their faith again. And it was that power that actually pushed those creatures out and made their home a bright place to live again.
So I hope everyone heard that. It is the faith, it is your positive nature, it's your energy and the light that keeps these things, the negative things, away.
And you have given, you and Sherry have given on your website, very good guidelines for protection and all of this.
Yes, from negative and disruptive entities.
Okay, and let's bring Rick back on. Rick, if these things do come back for whatever reason, and considering the energy points in the house, well, I would definitely keep the lid down on the toilet.
Yeah.
You never know how they're going to try and come back.
Yeah, start Vortex Plumbing Company.
That's it. So where are we today, Rick? Do we have a happy, calmer home environment?
Yes. Even on my worst days, everything has been very positive and upbeat, and the house feels open and free, and it's just the whole atmosphere is such a turnaround from the way it was before. It's a very pronounced effect, and when people come in now, they can actually feel the difference.
Wow, nice. Very nice. Right?
We all love happy endings.
Yeah, we do. And when those pesky real estate agents from Skull and Bones Realty come around, just tell them no.
Those days
are over.
Been there, done that.
That's right. That's right. Dwayne, thanks very much for being here tonight.
Jimmy.
Thank you, Dwayne, for being here. Okay. And Rick, thank you very much for being here again. It's been quite a story. Wow.
Yes. Can you hear me?
We got
you. Yeah.
Oh, great.
I think we lost Dwayne.
Oh, okay. I wanted to thank Brad and Sherry for their prayers and their support. It had a tremendous effect on the outcome.
Well, we love you guys, and we were so sorry we couldn't be there physically, but I think a couple times you felt us there spiritually.
Oh, definitely. There's no question that we didn't feel the love and support and the effect of the positive effect of prayer on our lives and on the outcome of this whole scenario here.
Very good.
It was amazing.
Many blessings and happy Halloween to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, that's quite a story. Quite a story.
The kind of living it with Rick and Diane going through it, and they paid their psychic dues. They came out stronger. They came out with a stronger faith. They had a good love bond. It's even stronger now. So, as I say, they really went through it. They went through torment. They went through hell. And they emerged the stronger for it. But, I mean, you have to keep the light before you. You can't give in to the forces of darkness.
Indeed. All right, let's go ahead and bring our next guest on now. We'll get him on the line and start our next segment on a very busy night. So, Gene, go ahead and dial him up if you would. Brad, why don't you go ahead and do a little introduction for him? We hope to have him on by the time you're done with
it. Okay, well... No one is surprised when I write an encyclopedia of werewolves, because I write about UFOs and ghosts and things that go bump in the night, but people are probably a little surprised when an outstanding scholar and theologian, written many fine works on contemporary American religion, religious expression, encyclopedias of contemporary religious thought that are just classics and stand there as benchmarks of scholarship, when he writes a book about vampires. And he's an expert. He's written a huge book, The Vampire Encyclopedia, The Vampire Book. It's even fatter than the werewolf book. And he loves vampires. I mean, not maybe physically, but intellectually, and he's been interested in them for many, many years. Now, I first met Gordon. Are you there yet, Gordon?
Not quite.
Okay. I may be contradicted on this, but I think he was still in the pulpit when I met him in those days in Chicago.
Oh.
And we've spoken together at many witchcraft gatherings, you know, with Ray Buckland and Gavin Avon Frost and the Llewellyns and so forth. And we were often the token Christians, as they called us, at these gatherings.
Wow.
So we've known each other for a long time. And
okay.
I'm delighted that he's coming on our special Halloween show to speak about his interests and fascination with
Let's see if he's there. Are you there? Do we hear Dr. Gordon Melton yet? Not yet. I guess we're still trying to dial him up.
Okay.
Okay, here's a little something. Now, there aren't very many contemporary songs about vampires.
No.
I found one.
There's Werewolf of London,
Werewolf.
You found a contemporary vampire song?
Yes, I did. And
okay.
They talk about how cold they are.
Ooh.
And all that. This is interesting. Let's while we're dialing up the good doctor, let's listen to a little. This is pretty interesting. Not many vampire songs around.
Not many.
And that was from a soundtrack of a motion picture I, at the moment, can't recall the name of because I didn't see it. But it was given to me as a vampire song, contemporary.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to learn what motion picture that
I'll was find out at the top of the hour.
It wasn't Underworld, was it?
I don't get to movies. I don't know. I did see the first two Harry Potter films.
Okay.
Did you see the? Well, not the same thing. Did you see the third one?
No.
Did you see any of them?
I haven't seen the second one yet.
I don't know what to think of those. I thought they were fine filmmaking, beautiful,
mm-hmm.
The photography and everything else, and the story. People, I think, in a way, made too much of some of it, and as people do, and whatever, free publicity and all of that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have our break coming up. We'll have Dr. Gordon Melton on just after the top of the news. I don't want to get into that right now. But let me again remind all of you to, by all means, take a look at the entries to our Halloween, the first annual Halloween Splash Art Contest. And the winner, of course, is up at the top of Rents.com right now. And Joe Kandari has just produced a great stroke of wit, and we really liked it. So Brad chose it as Brad and Sherry, picked it as the winner, and Joe will win the – did he win the cruise for – no. Oh, he got the book. Much better.
No.
And
he got
the
James Neff art piece.
Ah, well, there you go. I mean, he's – obviously this is going to be someone we'll be hearing from in the future. That's just very clever.
And many, many others.
Oh, all of them.
Now,
Look underneath, you'll see, click here to see the runners-up, and there should not be apostrophe there in runners, but teach James about apostrophes. It's runner-up and runners, plural up. But take a look at them all. They are nifty. And at the top of the page, you'll see the top three runners-up to the grand champion that Brad and Sherry picked, and they are dandy. And then just scroll down and look at all of them. They'll all be there. And we'll be back with you in just a couple minutes.